Scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. May God add a blessing to the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Will you pray with me? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It is good to be here. Merry Christmas in July. It's very exciting. I'm excited to be around the Christmas festivities, but I got to tell you, it goes against some of my deeply held convictions. That convictions that Christmas should only be celebrated from Thanksgiving to New Year's. That is when Christmas needs to be boxed in for me. Tony, I'm one of the ones that see the Christmas trees. I'm like, come on. I mean, I do. I mean, I'm excited to be here because we're doing the Christmas in July, but I've got some deeply held convictions here. My family will tell you. Mary Frances, throughout the entire year, we'll be listening to Pandora or something when she's in the bathroom getting ready, and she'll be listening to Jingle Bell Rock or something like that. And I'll go, "Hey, will you tone down the joy, please? It's not time for the joy yet." And when my kids were much younger than they are now, they would sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer the entire time. And normal fathers, I think, would just go, "Oh, look, the kids aren't fighting, and how great are my kids, and whatever." But I'd normally go, "Hey, kids, it's March 23rd, so knock it off." But I wonder if I'm doing a disservice by limiting Christmas to just this month-long celebration. The Luke passage that I read, the Luke passage is one that I don't often preach on. We spend all of Advent, we spend the 4 weeks of Advent trying to lead up to the baby Jesus, expecting when Jesus will get here, trying to get to that moment in the manger when we get to see baby Jesus. And then almost, immediately we fast forward to when he was a man. This passage, the one in Luke here, this passage is one of the rare ones where Jesus was still a baby. You know, he was 40 days old. Because, he has parents that were very devout Jews, and so they did what the custom was supposed to do. They took the firstborn male and consecrated him to the Lord. But then when they were doing that, when they were at the temple doing that, two devout people of faith made extraordinary displays when they brought the baby to the temple. Simeon talked about the salvation of God and sang. He had this little song, really, that he sang about Jesus and what Jesus meant, the salvation of the Lord. And Anna praised God for Jesus when she got a glimpse of the child. So what kind of salvation could they see really? What kind of salvation could be seen in the face of an infant? I mean, is that what we do when we look upon baby Jesus? Is that what we see? Do we see the salvation of the world? Do we see the way to peace and joy? Or have we become so accustomed to learning about Jesus and talking about Jesus that we've lost sight of the importance of Jesus? You know, at Christmas time, there is a bug crawling on my thing here. From the flower, it's freaking me out. It's going to go down there. All right. Let's just reset here. All right. At Christmas time, it is very hard to see the baby Jesus. And it seems odd because the whole celebration is about that. But it's very hard sometimes to just take a step back and marvel at what God is doing through the baby. Think of the hustle and the bustle of the Christmas season. Think about how busy we always are. We're visiting family and buying gifts and wrapping gifts and preparing meals and figuring out what Muppet special to watch first, because there is an order, right? But for some, it is such a busy time that it's hard to see the baby Jesus through all of the busyness of the holiday season. And for some, the holidays bring out the very worst parts of anxiety and depression. See, we miss our family. We miss the ones that should be close to us, but are not for some reason. We miss those people that made the holidays in the past so special. We tend to be down more than usual during a holiday season. So it's hard to see the baby Jesus. Sometimes I think that we have forgotten what it's like to simply stand back and marvel at what God is doing and where God is doing. That's what's so neat about this Christmas in July that we have here. This might be a time where we can all step back and see what God is doing without the added burdens of the holiday season pressing down on us. And let's be honest, the celebration of Christmas could not come at a better time in our lives. How many of us wonder when the next bit of awful news is going to come across the line? How many of us wonder where this world is heading? Violence and destruction and death seem so commonplace now. Every time we open our phones or every time that we log on to our news sites or see it in our newspaper, it seems like it's everywhere we look. Where is this salvation that was promised? Where do we turn in times of utter chaos and distress? Well, we might turn to our Christmas carols. That might be a place where we can turn. How many of us, be honest, how many of us involuntarily smiled when we sang Joy to the World today? Or Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It brings a smile when we hear these Christmas carols. These Christmas songs contain power. They contain a powerful message of love and redemption. There is a story, it's a great story, from Leipzig, Germany, before the fall of the Berlin Wall. You know, there were protests going on, especially in East Germany. There were protests all over the place as to the injustice and the treatment and the loss of freedom that these people were experiencing that the wall symbolized. So there were protests all over the place, but one in particular, it was a peaceful protest that was held in Leipzig in St. Nikolai Church. And people would gather every Monday to sing. They simply would sing. They would sing all sorts of songs about protest, but they would also sing about love and redemption and mercy and kindness. And over these 2 months that they did this, they grew from 1,000 people gathering in this place to 300,000 people. Half of the city would come every single Monday and sing. Now, their songs of hope and protest and justice and love, they didn't just stay in this city. They reached the highest of the high. And eventually, their song shook the powers of their nation and changed this world. Sometime after the fall of the wall, a journalist asked one of the East German secret police why they didn't crush this protest like they did so many others. And his answer was very clear. We did not have a contingency plan for song. Interesting. Interesting that the song of peace and love would be the revolution that eventually brought down this wall. Sometimes that's all we can do. Sometimes all we can do is sing. When we hear of the awfulness in this world, sometimes all we can do is sing. Simeon knows that from our text. He knows that he is witnessing something powerful, something wonderful, and he breaks out into song. Anna knows that as well when she caught a glimpse of the baby Jesus. You know, they didn't take up arms against the evil Roman Empire. They didn't call everyone together and say, let's go take them down. They saw God at work at the little infant Jesus, and they sang. But I know the questions are still remaining. What is this world coming to? I can't believe it's gotten this bad. Where is this supposed salvation? Where is God? What are we supposed to do now? Look at Jesus. That's what this text is telling us to do. When you are so down and you can't believe what's going on around you, look at Jesus. This is God's redemption. Not a warrior marching in and saying, let's go take them down. This is a baby in a manger that proclaims peace. I mean, have we forgotten? Have we forgotten that we follow a man that brought so much peace and love on this earth? You want to change? You want a sign? You want things to get better? Then look no further than the manger. The baby Jesus provided so much hope to the shepherds, and then later on to the wise men. And then when the child grew up, he provided so much more hope for all the people that listened to him. He is still providing that hope to each and every one of us. But it's not enough to simply look at this vulnerable baby in a manger and say, oh, look, peace is coming. It's not enough to simply stand back and go, Jesus, take the wheel because peace is coming. We need to look at the scene in the manger and say, oh, that's right. He showed us how to do it. When he grew up, he showed us how to love one another. He showed us that kindness and mercy trump everything. Jesus didn't come into this world so that we could give gifts to each other and put up trees and look at the pretty lights. Jesus came to show us what peace is like. He showed us that justice and mercy should be our way. He showed us that nothing trumps love of neighbor, and I mean absolutely nothing. He showed us that in all that we do, love is number one. And that, my friends, is the salvation sung about so long ago that we continue to sing about every time we gather. Praise be to God. Amen.